What's up? This is Movies on Up. Alien bozos with an appetite for close encounters. The bozo seated across from me is the same as usual.
Appetite for souls, or whatever the tagline was.
Appetite for close encounters.
With souls.
With souls. That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. Alien bozos with an appetite for close encounters is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/moviesonup, or you can tweet your guess to us at moviesonup on the Twitter if you are correct, and if we choose you,
you will get a killer prize package delivered by those clowns at the USPS.
I was gonna stop before getting to the USPS thing, because I really think sometimes the mail people
I have all the respect in the world for mail people.
Yeah, I just don't want to start shit with any postal carriers that may be delivering, my Amazon stuff.
I have nothing but respect for postal carriers. They're not clowns. It's just it worked with the tagline.
Mad respect for those people. This week we're going to be talking about a movie that we do have mad respect and mad love for, and that is Andy Muschietti's It from last year, starring Bill Skarsgård, Jaden Lieberherr, Jeremy Ray Taylor, Sophia Lillis, Finn Wolfhard, et al. It opened to $123.4 million on September 8th of 2017 and was the runaway number one movie that week. The Reese Witherspoon rom-com Home Again came in second with $8.5 million. The Hitman's Bodyguard, Annabelle Creation, and Wind River rounded out the top five for that week. The movie went on, and I may start referring to it as the movie just because it is tough. It went on to gross $327.4 million domestically, which puts it at number 59 on the all-time domestic list, one spot above DC's Losers Club from 2016.
The Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. And run spot below this Tom Hanks 1994 biopic.
That Leo one?
No, it... Biopic is kind of a joke.
Forrest Run.
Forrest Gump. My sister one time asked me when we were watching that, as an adult, this wasn't in 94. This was probably in 2014.
Like last week.
Yeah. If Forrest Gump was a real movie. And I said, well, yeah, it's on. We're watching it. It's a real. No, I mean, was he a guy, a real guy? And he was not. So I had to break that news to her. But there's a Bubba Gump restaurant. I said, you're right. And there's an Apple Computers, too. I don't know what to tell you. Just for some context, Deadpool 2 from this year grossed about $318 million. That's 63rd place all time, while 2017's Spider-Man Homecoming came in five spots higher in 54th place all time. However, I feel like when you say $318 million, that's a lot of money. But it's Suicide Squad level money. So it doesn't necessarily, this day and age, I don't think, scream success. But that amount of money for this movie is actually way more impressive than it sounds. And I guess maybe we should have seen this coming. The It miniseries came out in 1990. And the ratings numbers for that, they said an estimated 30 million people watched that. And if you multiply that by the average ticket price today, that's about $269 million for people that watched it 27 years ago. But when you put it in terms of R-rated movies, it is the fourth highest grossing R-rated movie of all time, behind The Passion of the Christ, Deadpool, and American Sniper. It is also the highest grossing R-rated horror movie ever, by far. 1973's The Exorcist sits in second place with an absolutely insane amount of money, $232.9 million.
In $73.
Exactly. So from 1973 to 2017, no R-rated horror movie was able to knock The Exorcist off that pedestal. Jordan Peele's Get Out is third place. So when we say that 2017 was a hell of a year for horror movies, it certainly was. It has two of the three highest grossing R-rated horror movies ever. They both came out within, six months
of each other? March and September,
Give or take. The Blair Witch Project is fourth, And then to round out the top five.
Just before.
Yeah.
Exorcist inflated.
Oh, we'll get there.
Oh, okay. You got that?
Yes.
Because right. That's fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. Usually when we do these movie episodes, we talk about the movie. We're going to talk a little bit about the movie.
It'll come up.
It will, yes. We did talk a bit about it in our last episode. It was our co-number one.
I got cut off because I had...
I cut him off because I wanted to be able to save something for today. But then when I started digging into the box office, because spoiler alert, we recorded 2017 weeks ago. But when I started actually preparing for this episode, the numbers are just absolutely insane. So we're going to talk a lot about the numbers and what that actually means in terms of its place on the Mount Rushmore of all time. But to finish out the top five in R-rated movies, so you got It, The Exorcist, Get Out, Blair Witch at 4, and then you have two Wannaverse movies, The Conjuring and this year's The Nun. Let that breathe for a little bit. The Nun from this year has outgrossed Paranormal Activity.
The Nun cost a little more than $9,000 to make, though.
Granted.
Yeah, no, I get.
When we're talking about the rest of these movies, all of them, cultural phenomenon, I think is a good word to describe Paranormal Activity, Blair Witch. The Nun? I don't know. Juan can make some money. That dude is bank. This month, specifically, I get asked all the time, hey, what's a good scary movie? Just because apparently I have a movie podcast. I like scary movies. I'm a good guy to ask. I'm not. I'm not a bad guy to ask, but Dave's a better guy. I'm not even the best guy in my peer group to answer that question. But I think if you ask 10 people what's the scariest movie, you probably get 10 different answers. But I think if you look at the box office numbers, it's pretty plain to see. Most folks go to see horror movies to be scared. The Exorcist, Blair Witch, Paranormal Activity are all movies that at the time they were in the theater scared the living shit out of people. Not coincidentally, they're all in the top 10 of highest grossing R-rated horror movie ever. To me, it seems like the public is making the argument by a wide margin that this movie, It, is maybe the scariest movie ever.
There's definitely an argument that can be made. It's a scary movie. I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit. Like, it's different kind of scare. Exorcist was, it was uncomfortable scared. Paranormal Activity and Blair Witch were just this kind of dread scare, and then the jump scare. This was different. This kind of combined everything and just turned it up to 11. So there's a point to be made for sure. There's an argument to be made.
You had mentioned the adjusted numbers. When you adjust for inflation, this movie sits behind Jaws, The Exorcist, 1953's House of Wax, Hitchcock's Psycho. That's it.
It's still top five inflated.
In terms of horror.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to sort out horror movies from the Box Office Mojo list. So I just went down and looked, starting at one, Gone with the Wind, and went down till I got to It, which I think is like 212.
I just looked it up.
Somewhere in there. There were a couple movies that showed up, like The Sixth Sense, which I wouldn't consider a horror movie. Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I like that movie a lot. I think it's more comedy than it is horror. There were some movies that I would not consider in the horror genre that went in before we got to It. But as far as straight up horror goes, Jaws, horror movie. Exorcist, House of Wax, and Psycho, yeah, those are all horror. And I think that those, especially when you throw in Jaws in there too, I mean, we're talking now, it made the most money. Maybe that's just a example of ticket prices being inflated. These are the only movies that, when you adjust for inflation, made more money. I think you're really building that case as to, Jesus Christ, this movie does belong right up there in the same breath as The Exorcist, as whatever horror classic you have, whether it's Halloween, whatever you hold near and dear to your heart, I think it's in the conversation.
And I think what goes along with it is it's, to go back to it, it's not Suicide Squad. There's two kind of, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad. These made money. There was that curiosity factor, but they're universally panned. They falter off right away because they're not critically received well. They're not audience received well. But then you have something like this that does make a lot of money, that people that have seen it, genuinely like it. It was well reviewed. It was well liked. It's one of those where it made money because people liked it, not because people just wanted to see it.
That's the thing. Like, for a superhero movie to make $300 million.
Yeah. It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
That's kind of what they're expected to do. The Exorcist made, without adjusting for inflation, $232 million. Almost $233. Get Out was $176. Take It completely out. With over $300 million, $327 million. The next highest is almost $100 million less. And then from that, you're going down now to $176. So that would be like a superhero movie doing almost a billion. I mean, I can't think of what the actual like exchange rate would be.
There's a lot that goes into it.
It's basically three times more than you could hope for an R-rated horror movie.
Yeah, and speaking of hope for, they didn't release it and think, we have a $300 million movie.
No,
they didn't.
You would be on drugs to think that.
This movie had a $35 million budget. That's small time. It had a September 8th release date. That's dumping ground. That's the end of summer. We're not into Oscar season yet. It's a horror movie. You can try to throw it in October just to have something. So, I mean, this wasn't primed to be like, oh, this is our moneymaker. If this movie opens to $60 million and closes with like $120, $130 million, that's a cha-ching, massive hit. You quadrupled your budget. Opened to $123 million in September. Dude, that is ridiculous. And it's worth it. It deserved it.
In addition to breaking all sorts of box office records, it's not going to surprise you to hear that it is the most profitable horror movie ever made. Well, no shit, because it made $300 million domestically.
Yeah. $35 million budget. This isn't Suicide Squad with like a $200 million budget making $300 million. This wasn't released as a tentpole. They had talked about doing Chapter 2 if this did well. That was the talk. It's not like, oh, it's the first one. We're going to do Chapter 2. It's already got a release. No. Chapter 2 was a thing immediately after this opened to
after
four
the
times
weekend.
Its budget. It wasn't John Carter of Mars. This wasn't a tentpole that was released, and it's going to kick off everything, and people's jobs are at stake. If this opens to $23 million, good, fine. It closes at 40 or 50, it makes money, that's fine. Best case scenario, when you put a movie out September 8th, I think 60, 65 million is ideal. And if this movie does that, it's a massive hit. It doubled that.
I don't really recall at any point necessarily the fervor for this.
I don't either, because I didn't see it opening weekend.
No, I didn't either.
I saw it late because
I saw it when it was on. I think I maybe rented it.
I saw it in theaters, but not opening weekend. We did our top 50 horror movies of all time last year. Probably late September, mid to late September.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it yet.
I think it had just been out for a couple weeks, really.
Yeah, and I hadn't seen it yet.
Made a ton of money.
I didn't see it until third or fourth week because, you know what? It would have been on that list. Like, and I think that's relevant.
That's kind of the thing. One of the things that we were discussing before is, okay.
Off mic, behind the camera.
Yeah, right. Off mic, but actually legit off mic because I was still setting my stuff up. Not even like cold open off mic, but... Okay, if we would have been able to, I'm talking about where this belongs. It's made enough money. It's hard to say that it should be up there right with the classics. Because on the one hand, I feel like, oh, it's too soon. You got to let it breathe. But we're always rushing to say, like, before Tom Brady retires, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Before
J.R. Minor is the next
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Baby Jordan, yeah. Because there hadn't been a basketball player since then that could be even anywhere close to Mike.
Harold Miner, not J.R. Ryder. Harold Miner.
I know who you were talking about.
Both of them were the next
Isaiah
Jordan.
Ryder.
Yeah, that's the they guy. Were both. Yeah.
But this movie, I think, has had the box office clout to stack up with that. It had the critical acclaim. People seem to like it. So I was thinking, all right, if we had seen this movie in time to go on our list, where would it be? And we both kind of agreed that it would probably be top 25.
You said what, top 25? I said, yeah. I would say probably top 15. That's how much I like it.
So let's go with our number 25, which was Jaws.
For me personally, yeah.
I'm all right with that. Number 24, the aforementioned Exorcist.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm okay with that too. 23, Attack the Block.
For me, how much I enjoy the movie, I think I like Attack the Block more, but from a horror movie standpoint, yes. Absolutely.
I'm putting it above Attack the Block,
absolutely.
So we're going to keep going
on.
Yeah. Number 22, Rosemary's Baby.
Absolutely.
Okay. 21, the aforementioned Get Out from 2017.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. From a horror movie standpoint, yes. Yeah.
So now we're at number 20, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I think
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
I think so, yeah. I'm more of a fan of that than you, but yeah.
Yeah. Number 19, Trick or Treat.
Yeah, it's close, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 18, The Descent.
Yeah.
Yep.
Close again, but yeah.
17, Evil Dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still going, yeah.
Number 16, Aliens.
Aliens, yeah.
Number 15, Dawn of the Dead.
I think so, yeah.
14, Ju-on.
For me, yeah.
13.
Yes.
Suspiria. Yeah. Maybe I will pull.
Now we're,
I'll pull the lever on that, but we're going to go until each of us say no.
Well, because I know Babadook's coming up, and I know Leslie Vernon's coming up, and I'm not putting it above either of those.
Well,
Babadook was
number
what?
12, Let the Right One In.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I will.
Number 11, Shaun of the Dead.
No. So we max out at 12.
I think we do. I don't think I put it above Shaun of the Dead. Leslie Vernon was 10.
Mm-mm. No.
Gremlins 9.
No.
Halloween 8.
No.
Creepshow 7.
No.
Babadook 6.
Babadook was that high? I remember Babadook being high. I didn't realize it was that high.
It's good.
I'm not arguing it.
Nightmare on Elm Street is 5. 28 Days Later is 4. Alien 3. Night of the Living Dead 2. The Thing 1.
Yeah.
So
12?
We put it at 12.
And if you want to keep Suspiria there, we put it at 13. So I was right. I said probably top 15.
Yeah.
And that was not looking at. I haven't looked at the list. And I remembered Babadook being high. I remembered Leslie Vernon being top 10 because it was like.
Yeah, we're the guys that have that in top 10 of all time.
And I'll defend that.
Come at me, bro. Yeah.
I'll defend that to the end of time. So, I mean, top 15 horror, and that's ever for us.
Yeah.
And it's not just because it's fresh.
No.
I watched it again today. It's fucking great. Like, it's a great movie.
For us to put Behind the Mask at top 10 all time, other than our love for that movie, and it's really fucking good. Go watch it. But it's tough to build an argument because it's completely subjective. But with it, there's the box office success where you can be like, me and 300 million people can't be wrong. That's kind of what it boils down to is this movie has won 5 Super Bowls in its first 7 seasons. So you're like, I guess this is.
Yeah. And even when you look at it, it's like, okay, he won those Super Bowls because of his play. It wasn't Ben Roethlisberger's first Super Bowl where he got him there.
Antoine Randall was a higher rated quarterback in that game.
He got him there. But the team won that Super Bowl. So when you want to look at it from a horror standpoint, is it scary? Yeah. Yeah, it's really scary. You look at it from a movie. Is it a good movie? Hell yeah. Yeah, it's a good movie. You want to look acting, cinematography, story, dialogue, everything? Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's good. It checks off any box you want to check. This movie does it.
Again, it shouldn't be a surprise. Muscatelli had good source material to start with. In addition to not knowing how much money Suspiria made last week, I don't know how many copies of it have been sold since the early 80s.
You talk about good source material.
I've heard that Stephen King has sold a lot of books, but not as many as R.L. Stein.
Not worldwide. You talk about source material. I think when you think it, they know it's a Stephen King book.
Yes.
But when they hear it, they think Tim Curry is Pennywise.
People our age, absolutely. They think of the 1990 miniseries.
So in a sense, it's a remake. You're redoing the book. You're using the source material. But the average viewer, the average audience goer is like, oh, the remake of that 90s thing. You have a good book, and then you have this well-loved miniseries. It's not unfair to put it in the realm with adapting, remaking Nightmare or Friday the 13th
which
or
have
or
both
Halloween.
Been done
poorly
recently.
Yes.
And poorly.
But then you look at, okay, so Nightmare on Elm Street remake, not good. Friday the 13th remake, not good. Halloween, the two, not
the
counting
zombie
the one
ones.
That came out 2 weeks ago that was either great or awful. Time will tell 2 weeks ago. So you look at those and you compare it to them. Those weren't $300 million movies.
why?
You have these beloved characters that people grew up loving, that they're horror icons. What did this do that those didn't?
And to be honest, I think it comes down to the character. I think Pennywise, for people our age, I'll say, I think belongs up there with Freddy Krueger, with Jason. Those are the guys that we grew up being terrified of. Maybe now kids are, it's Jigsaw.
The Nun.
Or, yeah, it's The Nun, the sixth highest grossing R-rated horror movie ever. Or Darth Maul from The Wanderers, whatever it ends up being.
Annabelle.
Yes. Maybe this generation has different horror icons than we did, but when they went back and Jackie Earle Haley, what I thought would have been a great,
I thought he was
choice.
Great casting.
Yes.
I thought he was fantastic casting.
That didn't turn out real well.
So what did it do that Nightmare didn't, that Friday didn't?
Just treated that main character with the proper respect. Skarsgård did not do a Tim Curry impersonation, which is what we said last week.
And I made the point that...
Earlier this week, I guess.
Yeah, I made the point that Tim Curry played it up as the clown.
Yes.
Bill Skarsgård played it as a demon.
It was taking the form of a clown.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Whereas Tim Curry played... They were both great. They're
he
both
was an
fantastic
evil clown.
Yeah, he was a clown that was a demon. Bill Skarsgård was a demon who happened to be a clown. So they took a different approach to it. You were respectful of the source material, and you cared about it. And you didn't try to imitate it. The Friday the 13th remake tried to just be a new Friday the 13th movie updated.
But even then, they made some changes to Jason.
Yeah, I don't want him running. I don't want Jason running. And I think a lot of it comes to this kind of hits a moment in time where you changed it from the 60s to the 90s, or whatever it was, the late 80s.
The 60s to the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. So people that grew up loving It grew up in that time. This movie took place shortly before the It miniseries debuts.
Yeah.
So like people that grew up watching It, they get that nostalgia. But then you kept it real. You made it a real story. Whereas Nightmare and Friday and put a bunch of hot people together and just watch them die. That's the premise of those movies. Rooney Mara, Willa Ford, like just beautiful people. It would have been very easy for It to just be like, they're high school kids that are being tormented. It would have been very, very easy to do that. They didn't. They kept them kids. And they made it relatable. They're not your cool kids. They're not your popular kids. They look like real people. They look like just real kids that you would see riding up and down the neighborhood. So, and they treated the source material with care. They treated everything with care. And I just feel like it was so well acted. Nobody was imitating Night Court, whatever, Harry Winkler or whatever, Henry, whatever.
The Fonz?
Yeah, the Fonz. Hey, no, the Night Court guy, Harry Dean Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in that, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
And John Ritter.
R.I.P. Nobody was imitating the original, whereas the remakes of Friday and Nightmare just feel like imitations, where this was a new take on it. And a lot of that comes from Fukunaga's script. They kept that, and, you know, they
kept most of it.
Yeah.
They cut out the orgy.
But, and I mean, I would have loved a Fukunaga version of this. I would have loved Will Poulter as Pennywise. When Will Poulter was cast, I remember the internet going nuts. Like, how is Will Poulter this Tim Curry character? And then you see what Bill Skarsgård did. It's like, oh, I can see Will Poulter do that. Like, I could see him in that. Like, that's how the character was written and imagined, and it worked. I think they paid so much attention. And a lot of that is because it was a $35 million budget. It was released in September. They just went out to take what they had and make a good movie. And that movie struck a chord, and that movie resonated with people. We haven't even talked about the horror element of it yet. It's a great movie, not just the scary parts. It's a great movie.
I mean, I think this is buying a lottery ticket as a studio.
It was low risk.
Yeah, low risk and
$327 million.
An unbelievable reward that came through it. And is it a perfect movie? No, I don't think so. I do think the movie is a bit overly reliant on jump scares. I think that
I will argue that.
The Pennywise encounters, I think, are all pretty formulaic. The way you sort of see the clown, then he morphs into something, and you get the loud audio cue. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm thinking it could have been more nuanced, but I guess at the end of the day, you've got a fucking demon clown that doesn't leave a lot of room for nuance.
See, I'll argue the jump scares because I feel like so many movies now rely on the jump scare. and then cut. Or jump scare. Oh, it wasn't really there. This is jump scare. Ah! You have your jump scare, and now that it's fucking chasing you. Pennywise jumps out of the screen, which is an awesome scare. They're still trapped in the garage with him. We're not cutting away. The chasing through the library. Like, there's so many moments where it's like, it would make for a great jump scare, but then it keeps going.
It's so prolonged.
So I don't. I will argue
it's
that
it's the priapism of jump scares.
It's the completed version. It's not just the, oh my god, that was scary. Oh,
jump scare to completion.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's that was scary, but thank god it's over and it lasted 0.2 seconds of my life. No, this is, oh god, I'm going to die. I am really going to die. And then it's over eventually.
That's bringing back a lot of memories for me.
And that's where I feel like it pays off. It was different than what we have seen. I don't think it relied on the dread, the like, oh my god, something's going to happen. Because it's just, oh my god, something happened.
It didn't belabor that point.
And I mean, a lot of it, you know, is coming because it's like, oh, let's go to the well house. Well, that's a fucking terrible idea. Don't go to the well house. You know what's going to happen at the well house. I don't think it's predicated on, oh, the unexpected happened. Yeah, there are some moments, but then it unexpectedly just keeps going. So I like the scares in it. It's a different approach to scares, and I thought it was great.
To circle back, people go to the movies to be scared. Get Out was a very good movie. From the same year, made a lot of money. Very successful. But I don't think that the experience of that movie is quite the same as watching It. You go to the movies to be scared, and at the end of the day, that's what it succeeded in doing, was scaring the shit out of people.
And I think it's, but there's such different types of horror movies. I can't relate to the black man being swallowed into white culture. So Get Out, I love it as a horror movie, but I don't relate to it. Whereas It, okay, how many people have been scared of clowns? How many people have seen creepy paintings or the creepy homeless guy that you think there's not something there? Like, or
that offers to suck your dick for...
Yeah.
I think they cut that out.
Or a red balloon.
Yeah. Like, or a nickel, whatever.
So, I mean, the scares there are... the stuff that I feel like more people relate to. I regret that I didn't know enough about Haunting on Hill House when we talked about Mike Flanagan in a few episodes this month, because he's a master. Haunting on Hill House, if you haven't watched it yet, watch it. But what It does so well, I didn't realize that it did until rewatching it. It takes that human story and puts it in a horror movie to where there are real emotions and there are real fears, not just the monsters and not just Bowers the bully. Like, these kids, they don't have a lot going for them. They are scared of the future. They are scared of their surroundings and their world because the world wasn't made for them. So there's that.
They're vulnerable at home. They're vulnerable everywhere.
So you have this emotion, and it's not a ghost story, whereas what made Haunting on Hill House so much is it focused on the human story and then wrote the ghost story around it, which is usually the other way around. This was a human story that are just happen to be fighting a demon clown against their will for the most part. Like, they're thrown into this situation, but they're relatable. I mean, I think it's more relatable than most horror movies. Not everybody's a hot high school kid that's getting banged in the woods, you know? So from that angle, like, you know, a lot of us were losers growing up, or a lot of us were had a Bowers.
Having gangbangs in the sewer.
Yeah.
I guess no matter what it was, and maybe it was different things for different people, it clearly resonated with a lot of folks last year. And when you get to end of year lists, or you even talk about movies from 2017, I think a lot of movies get brought up before It. I don't mean to say that it was the best movie that came out last year, but I think, like, the impact that it had is literally something that we had never seen before.
I wanted to look back. It ended up at my number 3 last year because I saw it late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not super aware of just how much money and what that actually meant, which is, you know, why we spent so much time talking about it. I really think that, you know, our podcast used to focus a lot on box office. Used to predict what the box office was going to be
like
every
week.
The
Breakdown Pod, which we guessed it on two weeks ago.
They do that. They break it down often, weekly even. But once I came across that, I was like, no, this, I think a lot of people probably have seen it. So we don't necessarily need to tell you why that movie's good. It made $320 some million. You probably saw it. A lot of people did. You probably liked it. But I do think the thing that people don't know about that movie or don't realize is just what an incredible accomplishment it is. I'm not saying that It Chapter 2 is going to do as well.
In a way, it's a blessing and a curse. You put out this movie that cost $35 million at a time when you don't expect to make money, and now you have this massive hit. But who were the stars of this movie? Bill Skarsgård wasn't a household name. Finn Wolfhard wasn't
probably
a household
name. Probably
the
biggest star in the movie
was him. Finn Wolfhard, yeah. And Bill Skarsgård's brother and dad. So, like, you created some stars, because I think Lieber Holden and Lillis and Finn Wolfhard are going on to do awesome things. But, like, now you have two.
Chastain.
McAvoy, Jessica Chastain, Bill Hader. You have a cast. You're paying for movie stars. James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain, those are movie stars. Bill Hader is somebody who has his own niche audience, but he's bringing people to movie theaters. But do you top $327 million? This was such a flash in the pan. This was such a right movie, right moment type thing. That
it's like saying, does The Last Jedi top Force Awakens? Probably not, because very few things in the history of the world have. There's no horror movie since 1973. No movie had made even $200 million. I don't think it beats Chapter One.
It reminds me of like the Black Panther and Avengers thing. Black Panther blew up, third highest grossing movie of all time almost. And then Avengers were coming out and people were like, oh, it's Avengers is obviously going to make more than Black Panther. Not so fast. The third highest grossing movie of all time is a pretty substantial feat. Avengers didn't make more.
No, Infinity War finished fourth.
Yes. So it's like, you could put out two, say it only makes $200 million. I mean, that's still
massive success.
Massive success. Success, yeah.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, there's so much going for it. I'm excited for two. I don't want them to get greedy, though. I don't want a three. I think you can wrap it up in two.
You have the inevitable Stranger Things crossover.
Yes, yeah. I don't want too much of a good thing. And I think if two makes $250 million, I think they'll want a chapter three, obviously.
Yeah.
You have a little leeway when your first one makes 10 times its budget. So you can up the budget to $100 million and it still make $200 million. You're still out on top.
Yeah. And that's the thing. This movie made $700 million worldwide. The $320 million it made here, that's about half. So, yeah, the second one, it's almost going to be a success in spite of itself. I don't see any way that it doesn't make. I mean, if it's bad, I think it makes 175.
Yeah, I think worst case scenario is like 175. Yeah. I think best case is probably 250, 275.
Yeah, which,
like,
again,
I don't know that it makes the 300.
Probably not, but at 275, it would be the second highest grossing R-rated horror movie ever behind the first one.
Yeah.
And it just in terms of R-rated movies, 275 would put it above The Hangover 2 in eighth place all time. Hangover, the first Hangover made 277. So.
Yeah, so right between there.
Yeah, which is not a bad place to be. That was not necessarily an in-depth conversation about the movie. We probably talked more about the movie
earlier this week when I got cut off because I could talk about the movie more and then I wasn't allowed to.
That's basically it. But not to beat a dead horse, everybody likes the movie. It made a ton of money, and now you know exactly how much money it made, so you can go win a bar bet. Hey, you want to rattle off the top five highest grossing R-rated movies ever? You can do it now. Or R-rated horror movies, you can do that too. You'll drink for free all night. So that is our final gift to you in the month of Halloween. It has absolutely flown by. We did eight episodes?
Ten episodes. Again, every year it seems like October is 5 weeks.
So 10 episodes, and I thought eight. It flew
by.
So 10 really flew.
We're kind of squeezing it out a little bit more because next week, The Girl in the Spider's Web or whatever comes out, directed by Fede Alvarez.
Yeah.
So we're going to watch Don't Breathe, which got mentioned in, what, our 2015 or 2016 episode?
Yeah, whenever it was that came out.
Or 2014. So considered a Halloween episode because we're going to kick off November with a horror movie. And then, you know, we just did the calendar through the end of the year. So there's some fun stuff to look forward to. But next week, we'll be back in regular weekly mode. No more of this two times a week nonsense. But yeah, we'll be back with Don't Breathe.
But until then,
keep it up.